Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, and we head back to London now. And I'm pretty excited to chat to a returning guest today. But just because of his background, that he didn't come from a swimming background, literally had to learn to swim when took on the sport of triathlon, and has done some amazing things. Martin Muldoon. Martin, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Brad. Good chatting again.
Martin, your swim story in your Ironman journey is incredible. I mean, when we spoke first time around, you spoke about your first triathlon where you were too scared to put your face in the water. You've come a long way.
That's right. Yeah. It's been a long journey. The swim has always been the tough one. The bike and the run, I had done a bit of that as a kid, so that was no issue at all. But yeah, the swimming, I really struggled, and it was a mental thing, really. I mean, let's face it, anybody who's able-bodied and given the right instruction can swim, but I had a mental issue with getting in the water and trying to get comfortable in that. Certainly in the start of the swim in a race where everyone's beating each other up and there's white water bubbles everywhere and you get a bit claustrophobic. So yeah, I was really starting from scratch, and it took me a good couple of years to get comfortable with swimming. So I don't think too much about it now. It's quite natural to me, but that has taken a long time. And I would say that the thing that probably helped me improve most in the swim was just starting to enjoy swimming. So I didn't enjoy it for a good few years. And as I did more and more of it, and I get a couple of good coaches, a couple of good local instructors, and I started doing more of it and meeting other swimmers, I started enjoying it. And that's when I really started to improve. So, I probably knocked a good 10, 15 minutes off my Ironman swim time by enjoying it, just by getting in the water and enjoying each time, looking forward to it, that type of thing. So I would say try and find a way that you can actually enjoy swimming or any discipline, and that'll make it a lot easier to improve.
You talk about the mental bit of doing it. What was it that was holding you back? Was it fear? Have you managed to get to the bottom of it? Obviously, the enjoyment now has made it a lot easier, but what was it in the beginning?
Yeah, I think it was fear. I mean, I come from a background. My parents, especially my mother, was always very sort of negative about water. And if you grow up listening to that as a young kid, swimming wasn't part of my family's life. You meet people that have been swimming since they were two and confident in open water at 4 years old. We were the complete opposite. We were always sort of told to stay away from water, and I never really tried. There wasn't a local swimming club or anything like that. So it genuinely wasn't until I was, hit my early 30s that I tried it. So it was a kind of I didn't believe that I was one of those people that could actually do it. I just seen swimmers as another breed, people that do it, and I'm not one of them. So it took me just to sort of stop and rethink that a bit. And to be honest, I didn't envision it ahead. It was more that it started happening because I was trying it, and then bit by bit I started to see that, well, actually I can do this as good as anybody else, not as good as the top guys, but I was good as any other starter, any other person who was sort of middle of the range swimmer. And as time's gone on, I've got myself, on a few swims out there, I've actually been under the water in the top sort of 10%. So it's changed a lot, but yeah, it's just breaking down, trying to understand what is your mental barrier and just trying to attack it from different angles. And you do finally get a way in there.
You mentioned the thing that's really turned the corner for you is enjoying the swim. You've done work with coaches from a technical point of view to get your technique right. I mean, a lot of it is technique and just getting comfortable and getting the breathing and that right. Would you say that is just it? Is just spending time in the water and getting comfortable, feeling, getting that body awareness of what you should be doing, and once that clicks, it just becomes a lot easier.
Yeah, that's right. There's a company here in London called Swim for Tri. A guy, Dan Bullock, runs it. And they helped me a lot because it's purely, they're coming from the technical side of being triathletes. So there's lots of swimming clubs around, and I'm in a great swimming club now, but you kind of need to know how to swim before you join them because they're not really all that interested in triathletes. So I spent a couple of years doing different stations with the Swim for Tri guys, and they teach you right from the beginning. There's guys who can't swim at all, but these guys take you from that right through to being technically good. They do a lot of drill work, but they also do yardage, because you can't do one or the other. You have to do both at the same time. You have to have the fitness to be able to hold the technique, and vice versa. You have to be able to swim miles to get that fitness. So I think it's something that I think it was a good part of my journey in the early days to learn how to swim. It's completely different from anyone who's a proper swimmer, you know, who learned from scratch. And by the time they were 12 years old, they were probably swimming faster than I do now. But I didn't have that choice. So, you know, certainly going to that, you know, local hands-on coaching, someone who's watching you, giving you tips, telling you you're doing stuff wrong, and then watching you when you try to improve it. So, yeah, it's a long slog, but you gotta put the effort in, and you have to be very determined. For me to be a good runner, doesn't take that much determination because it was more natural to me. But as a swimmer, I had to be hugely determined, like 10 times more than any other discipline. So I think that's part of it. Having the want to do it, I'd say, is probably the biggest part.
And you play your times down. You're actually a pretty decent swimmer. Your times now aren't half bad. I mean, when you first started, I mean, what was your first Ironman swim to what it is now?
I think when I was in Germany, I did a 103. That was a wetsuit swim. And to be honest, I was probably faster than I should have swum. That was maybe slightly above plan. And 103, I probably should have been a 106 or 107. But I was really happy seeing that time. Now, I've swum as low as 53. But to be fair, that was in Mexico, which is, there is a bit of a tail push. There's no wetsuits there, though, so it's still, to me, that was, you know, it's obviously my fastest time. But I've done a few 57s in normal, you know, conditions without wetsuits. Kona's a hard one to be fast, and I've done a 102 there, but I always find it's slightly measured, slightly long. You don't have the wetsuit; it's very choppy. It's extremely aggressive. I mean, Kona is the scariest swim out there by far. Nowhere else touches it. You just get beat up the whole way around, and it's just full of all these A-type personalities trying to better each other. So it's a pretty difficult place to be fast, I think. And that shows the real swimmers. Anybody who swims under an hour in Kona, you don't do that by accident. You know, that's proper swimming. I've not done it yet this year. Who knows? I mean, I'm not swimming particularly well at the minute, but yeah. But no, I have improved it over time, and I would say I got it to a place about 3 years ago, and I haven't really improved too much since. You know, you do, even when you've improved a lot, you still hit plateaus. And I think the determination for me to knock another minute off it would take a huge amount of energy. And I guess I'm trying to spread my focus across all disciplines and trying to keep it all moving in the right direction. So I probably haven't focused enough in the last few years in the swim, but at least keeping it where it was.
Are you grateful? Are you grateful you played Gaelic football growing up for the physicality of the swim in Kona?
Yeah, no, there's definitely a lot of correlation for it. You know, you get whacked in the back of the head. I think in some other backgrounds, people might find that very strange, but to me, it's like, you know what's happened. You hear a bang, and you realize that you've been punched in the ear, type of thing. I think in most Ironmans, people don't purposely try to hit each other, but it does happen by accident probably 95% of the time. You do get the odd maniac who's in there, you know, who loves just swimming over the top of people. It's a very selfish thing to do. And I don't know many people that do that sort of thing, and certainly they don't admit to it. But I've been in races, mainly Kona, where people swim over the top of you. And you know, unless they're blind, they know you're there. They see that they were ducking you and putting you under pressure, but they don't care. It's kind of part of the macho Kona thing, and you don't really get that anywhere else. So it's part of the reason why I hate the race and the swim in Kona. I mean, it's beautiful, but it's very, very few occasions on race day in Kona on the swim that I've actually enjoyed the swim section. So but yeah, having that Gaelic background certainly helps, you know, do a bit of boxing by accident or not.
Martin, thank you so much for your time here on the Kona Edge once again. Look forward to getting you on next time to talk a little bit about your bike, but we'll save that for then. Thanks, mate.
No worries. Cheers, mate.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. If you want to improve your swim, be sure to check out our next free live online swim seminar. Get to theKonaEdge.com/swimseminar to sign up now.